This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Copy and print.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to start out talking with our good friend Terry Foster from the Detroit News. We're going to rehash that ugly game we saw over the weekend with Iowa beating Michigan State. So let's bring in Terry and start talking last week and next week as well. Hey, Terry, how you doing?
Doing well, Earl. Good day here, except it's a little cloudy, but we'll survive it.
Yeah, a little cloudy, a little chilly on these days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we saw a disappointing loss for Michigan State over the weekend, and then we'll have to talk about the bounce back and how they're going to bounce back and take care of Michigan. But this Iowa game showing a trend over the season. The State hasn't been able to score a lot of points, and they don't get off to a good start.
Well, that is true, but, Earl, this is, I tell you what, it's a little bit, to me, a little bit more complicated than that. This is the worst I've seen Michigan State in a long time. I mean, the absolute worst. And I understand there's some injuries on the offensive line. They've had to replace some guys. But what I saw out there was playing its first game of the season. This is the way you're supposed to look against Boise State in August. Not the seventh game of the season. And they've got a lot of work to do if they're even going to come close to Michigan. Because I see a Michigan team that's improving. I see a Spartan team that's getting worse.
Yeah, that play, of course, everyone around here has been talking about the play at halftime. And that was so disappointing. The players running out on the field and such.
But Earl, it wasn't just that. It happened another time where, before that, where guys are looking around like, what are we doing? There was one play where I think Maxwell's trying to communicate to his receiver. Receiver doesn't even look at him, has no idea what's going on. And, this goes beyond, the offense not scoring, the offense looking off. These guys look like they're off. They look like they're not out of sync. And there's got to be a lack of leadership somewhere because they're not on the same page. And it's pretty obvious.
Yes, people have talked quite a bit about the lack of leadership not having a leadership like they had the last couple of years. And that's been very disappointing. And, it's hard to figure out how can you get it back or who does someone have to step up to be a forceful leader in the locker room? Because clearly they don't have one right now.
No, they do. And you know what? It's probably going to have to be Maxwell, I would think, on offense. And, this is a guy, Maxwell, great guy. But I think at some point he's got to, I don't know if he has to grab a face mask, but he's got to get into somebody's face and say, dude, what are you doing? You're making me look bad. You're making us look bad. We got to do something about this. And, on defense, maybe it's a guy like Golston or Bullock or something, because the defense is good. It's not great. And this defense, I think, can be better than it is now. So, they need a gut check in there. And because if they're not careful, not only will the four-game winning streak against Michigan end, but it could get ugly. And you don't want to beat Michigan four times in a row and then, get blitzed 42-7. At least keep it close and make it competitive where it's a game that's going down to the wire in the fourth quarter rather than just going there and getting spanked. And, Earl, I'm telling you, if they come out there with the same issues of being confused and everything, they will get beat by Michigan easily. But they've got in their own hands where it doesn't have to come to that.
Yes, they're definitely going to have to turn it around because what we've seen this year through these six games has not been pretty. And, they've got to change it somehow. I don't know how they can turn it around, but they've got to get on the same page or something. And, one part thing I think is that the – Michigan State has really too many new players they're trying to break in who aren't that comfortable breaking in and working in with the schemes and with what they were doing in the past few years. It just seems like it's too many players who aren't making that adjustment.
Yeah, there is a lack of comfort, for a lack of a better term. And I think that's why you see confusion. That's why you see other teams getting better and Michigan State just kind of being stagnant because, they've tried it with other guys, and those other guys weren't good enough. And some of the freshmen that we've seen and some of the freshmen we have not seen or not seen enough of are better. But you can't just throw them in and say, okay, be like B.J. Cunningham, be a great player right away. And I think that's why we see some of the confusion, too. Guys don't know each other.
Yes, and that's definitely is a big problem for sure. Well, what do you see looking ahead to the next game? What do you see again in that Michigan State game? I know we've talked about it, but is there a way Michigan State can win that game? Are they good enough? I guess that's what I'm asking.
Well, I still think they're good enough, but now they're going to need some. I don't want to call it miracles, but they're going to have to play Michigan State football. And I think what they're going to have to do is, they've had great success against Denard Robinson. Denard Robinson is only averaging 3.5 yards per carry against them. He doesn't pass well against them. The only time he gets yardage is pretty much, late in games and stuff like this. So now, obviously, they have to contain him. Whatever they've done the last few years, they have to do. But now they've got to create turnovers. And Denard Robinson can turn the ball over. To me, the X factor isn't so much Denard Robinson, even though, that's what everybody's going to be focusing on. But can they pinch or dent Michigan's defense? Michigan's defense, to me, has been a surprise. I think Michigan's defense has been an embarrassment. Last night, I was on Fox 2, and I described Michigan's defense as a bunch of walruses out there that just kind of maul you. But now they're actually hitting people. They're actually making plays. And you look at that defense and say, not bad. So can that offensive line not be overwhelmed, and can Bell get his creases? And I'm talking about Bell running with a little room in front of him. He'll get 4 yards, but he'll get hit on the first yard, and then he's got to carry guys 3 or 4 yards. Open some holes up for him. I think that's the key right there. And obviously the receivers have to catch passes, but I'm saying if that offensive line can block well, they won't have to worry about the pass too much. Look at Denard. Denard's only passing 11 or 13 times a game the last couple games where he's had monster games. So, who's better and bigger and badder in the trenches?
Yeah, because that's been a bit of a problem for Michigan State because the blocking has been that great all year long. I don't know if they can make a good improvement in the blocking in 1 week's time, but blocking definitely has been a big problem.
Yeah, and if that remains a problem, then they will definitely lose because I think now Michigan is pretty much say, hey, let's skip all this passing and stuff. Let's see if we can line up, knock some folks over, get Denard out in space, and kind of win it that way. Because Denard's never going to be a great passer, but he can make big plays through the passing game in spurt, when he really needs to. And I think now they're definitely setting up the pass with the run. And a lot of times when he goes back to pass, sometimes you're not expecting he's able to get big plays.
Yeah, that is something. Yeah, I have to give it to Michigan. They've certainly got better under Hoke. These 2 years have been impressive that he's done. And I'm amazed, really sort of amazed that he hasn't been able to put it together and get them on the same page so quickly.
Well, this is his second year. And, they had a nice year last year. And maybe some of us thought it was through smoke and mirrors. But, they always believed in him. And I think, when they hired Brady Hoke, first thing I thought, this is a great front man for the University of Michigan because not only the players going to believe in him, but the administration, the boosters, and the administration, everybody's going to believe in this guy because he's the perfect salesman for Michigan football. And now you got everybody believing right now. Of course, if they lose the state, that might be shaken up a little bit. But everybody believes in him right now. And this is a big game for them because they've got to end this losing streak to Michigan State. And they've got to continue this bandwagon where Hoke is kind of the king up there.
Yes. Would you say this game probably more important than Ohio State this year for this 1 year? Would Michigan State game probably be a little bit more important to Michigan than the Ohio State game?
Well, they will never admit it, Earl, but I think the Michigan State game is going to be more important than Ohio State game most years because they're in the same division. Now, the Big Ten played a dirty little trick on Michigan where they can go around saying Ohio, 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 but guess what? You can beat Ohio, lose to Michigan State, and not go to the Big Ten title game, which is what you really, really want to do. So I think the Michigan State game is almost always going to be the more important game because Michigan State can be the difference in Michigan going to the Rose Bowl and, you know, going somewhere else.
Yeah, that is true. Hey, Terry, when we look at these two games, looking at last week's game, I must admit I was very disappointed in that Michigan State outcome and the way they played and basically how they've been blocking. But when you look at Le'Veon Bell, you know, he's a good running back, but do you see anything that separates him from the other running backs? I mean, he's a good running back. He runs hard, but he just doesn't seem to have that extra, that it factor.
Well, he doesn't have the it factor as far as speed. Bro, I mean, he does have the it factor in that he can change pace pretty well for a big guy. He can make you miss. I mean, he'll blast you, but he's got these little moves that when he's in the open field, he'll make you miss. Now, he's not going to run away from you, but that's not the type of back he is. He is a power back. And, you know, for his sake, I would love to see Caper get a few more carries just so Le'Veon can get through the season and still be as fresh as possible. I still think Caper is a good back. I was kind of surprised that they used Nick Hill a little bit. I would like to see those carries go to Caper, but, you know, I'm not coaching up there, bro.
Yeah. Wait, what about, I mean, I know Jarrell Worthy isn't going to be walking into the stadium this week. They could certainly use him, but that's been a big miss. They haven't been able to get any push up the middle at all this year because, you know, no one has been able to fill Jarrell Worthy's shoes.
Worthy is a stud. You know, the first time I really saw him play, and I just said, let me look at this guy. Who the heck is Jarrell Worthy? You know what I'm saying? Earl, you want to look at interior linemen, and the things you see him do are pretty amazing. He gets the push. He pushes people around. He had quick feet. And also, he took the attention away from William Golson. Now teams can say, you know what? I'm going to give Golson a double team or chip him or whatever because I know I have to worry about him because Worthy's not there. So there's no fear on the inside. So I think that's affected Golson's game also.
Yes, and of course, it's affected the whole defensive backfield because, as you know, last year they made a ton of plays. This year they're not making as many plays. They're still making some plays, but Donny Adams has certainly been exposed a little bit. Denard has been exposed a little bit. So it's definitely hurt the back end of the defense because they can't get any pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. And those guys need – they can't be back there trying to guard somebody for 4 or 5 seconds. It's just not going to work. I do think those guys are hard hitters and that they can knock somebody out. But bottom line, when we were talking about coverage, they're not that good. And, that's why Worthy is a huge, huge loss. And, I'm willing to bet that if you had Worthy, you don't lose maybe you don't lose the Ohio State game. Maybe Notre Dame is a toss up. So I think at least he's cost them at least one game. And I'm willing to bet they would have beaten Iowa if they had Worthy. So at the very least, you lost two games because you don't have Worthy. And you don't have anyone who's been able to replace him.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean, but that's college football. I mean, I don't know why fans think just because you lose a few guys that they'll be replaced, the other guys can come in and I guess assume that they're going to be as good, if not better, than what the last guy was. But it just doesn't work that way in college, does it, Terry?
No, it doesn't. But, you know, people believe in the head coach and they believe that he's got a system. But look at Alabama. Alabama lost a bunch of defensive players and you can't really score much on them. But, you know, that's probably not the case with everybody else.
Yeah.
Michigan State team is obviously going to take a step back this year, and maybe they'll be back next year if they can get the quarterback and wide receivers on the same page.
Okay. Hey, Terry, it's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And, Yeah, we saw a disappointing game. So hopefully, for Michigan State's sake, hopefully they can have a good game this week and start the Spartans in a positive note, in a positive direction.
That would be nice, and I'll be there. So I'm looking forward to the game.
Okay, well, I'll see you there as well, Terry. See, talk to you later, buddy.
All right, my friend. We'll see you.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Terry Foster talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
In commercial radio, in-depth means a minute 30. On much of public radio, you can hear stories stretched to 6 or 7 minutes. On Talk of the Nation, we're not talking in-depth until we've hit the half-hour mark. I'm Neil Conan. Take your time with the discussion on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Partly sunny skies for this afternoon. Scattered light rain is possible, a high around 55. Then for tonight, partly cloudy, a low dipping into the mid-30s. A partly sunny day for Tuesday. There is a slight chance for light rain showers by afternoon, highs in the mid-60s, and mostly sunny for Wednesday, a chance for showers, possibly a thunderstorm, a high in the mid-70s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Now we've got a new number to give you out because we're going to be giving away tickets to the Michigan State hockey game coming up this Friday and Saturday against Niagara. It's 517-884-4870, 517-884-4870. Call that number and register for a chance to win hockey tickets to the next game, and that's 4884-4870. And call, that's where the number to call, and you can register for your chance to win hockey tickets right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we give away tickets all during hockey season. We've been giving away football tickets during football season, and we want to help you out and give you a chance to win some tickets right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, I know we got a couple of cuts to play for you from the game from this past week. One that's called play in the second quarter, and that's the difficult play that didn't do well before halftime.
Well, we completed the ball to Keith for a big gain, and we had made it clear that we were going to kill the clock in that situation, and then run the field goal unit out, and our field goal unit team, I think from my impression where we're at, they went onto the field too quickly, and then our guy started to run off. So we just didn't execute.
And that's Coach Dan Rochard talking about the play at halftime with Michigan State. Right now, let's talk something a little bit more pleasant. The Detroit Lions got a win over the weekend, 26-23 in overtime over Philadelphia. So let's bring our good friend Michael Herron and talk about the Lions. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Okay, Earl, I've had a new job since the last time we talked. I'm now at DetroitLions.com, so...
Oh, okay.
You can stop. What a shameless plug, eh? Trying to spell it?
Yeah.
It's not .com, it's .com. There's no dot on my typewriter.
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, that's nice. I visit that site. I'll have to visit them even more so now.
Well, you know what? Do it every 10 or 15 seconds. I get a percentage of the hits.
Okay.
I'm just kidding about that.
Hey, well, let's talk about the Lions. I know we've seen a lot of games. You've seen a lot more of them over the years than I have. But, boy, that was very impressive. A very good win for Matt Stafford in bringing back the Lions to beat Philadelphia.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I've seen that game, you know, maybe 50 times, and I've seen all the endings too far behind to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, far enough behind just to come close, win, miss, you name it, the whole thing. But the one thing that always seems to be the constant is that when they win, it's the quarterback and it's the kicker. And in this case, the quarterback is Matthew Stafford, who's the best quarterback I've covered with the Detroit Lions. And the kicker, of course, is Jason Hansen, who is the best. No kicker has ever kicked as well as he has for as long as he has. Whether that leads to the Hall of Fame eventually, I don't know. But what a performer in the clutch. Always has been, and I think he's down to his last 10 or 15 good years.
Yes, he has been. He's been awful special. But you know, there's another player we might see going in the Hall of Fame if he keeps his numbers up and keeps going. And Calvin Johnson, certainly a very special player. And he's so good in the clubhouse as well. I mean, they really – Calvin Johnson, I can say, is certainly one player that earns his paycheck.
Well, he does. And, you know, I like everything about him. He's not a complainer. He's a competitor. Uncharacteristic of him in the third quarter, ran a pattern over the middle and got drilled, got hit high just as the ball had touched his hands. And he just spread his hand wide, looked at the official and said, "Where's the call?" And here's a guy, look, he's as physical and as tough as any receiver in the game. In fact, he might be tougher than any receiver since Hines Ward. And that's one of the few. That's as much as you'll see him complain. Otherwise, he just plays. I mean, he got hosed on the interference call in the end zone. That was not offensive pass interference in any way, shape, or form. And he just plays. How about this, Earl? One catch for 28 yards going into the fourth quarter. Not a single complaint. No, no showboating. No waving his hands at the quarterback. No sulking. He just kept playing, and he wound up with 6 for 135 and thoroughly dominated the fourth quarter in overtime. What a player.
Yes, he is. And of course, Matt Stafford, what can we say about him? I mean, the Lions have tried to draft quarterback. You know, we were around when they tried to draft, when they drafted the guy out of Oregon and also Iowa when he came in. But they finally, looks like they finally got it right.
Oh, they did. And listen, I hit the tweets and the messages and all that at halftime, benching, we want Sean Hill. Was he playing good? No, he's playing terrible. It was windier than people realized, and he wasn't on his game. But he didn't really make any plays to hurt the team. He really didn't. I mean, when I say hurt them, he didn't do what Vic did, fumble a snap and the horrible interceptions. The one interception was the deep post to Calvin. And, he was doubled. Calvin stumbled a little bit, and Asamoah was able to intercept it in the end zone. But, those are football plays, and it's not like he, threw a pick coming out from his own 20-yard line. It just turned out to be a long punt. He'd rather not have it, but that's what it was. But I tell you what, when the money was on the line, when the chips were on the table, he raked them in like he does more often than not.
Yeah. Now after they've had these problems the last 2 weeks in special teams, it looks like they didn't have that kind of problem. Did they do it? Did you see them? Did they make any changes in the special teams, the way they coverage or anything?
Well, I think they added one player, Travis Lewis, the rookie seventh-round draft pick. He was in for Tahir Whitehead. Did Travis Lewis make the difference? No, I doubt it. Maybe they just recommitted to some things. I thought the Eagles burned him a little bit on us. I'd say singed. Okay, not burned, singed. Kind of burned their eyebrows off, okay, on a kickoff return early in the game. But aside from that, nothing glaring. I thought Nick Harris had one short punt that you couldn't have liked. And then almost disaster in overtime when on the punt return, fumbled the ball at midfield and the Lions were able to get the ball back. That could have been just a disaster. But the results were what they were. And then, of course, the kicker, Jason Hansen, 4 for 4. He's now 16 for 17 this year. And nobody can say he's an indoor kicker either because he's 12 for 13 outdoors this year. I mean, what a player.
Yes, he is. And Mike, can we, when we look at the NFL and the Lions and their place in the NFL, what do you see this team? I mean, it seems like when I look at all these games, one week the teams will score a low-scoring game, and the next week it'll be a high-scoring game. And it seems to be happening all over the league that you just can't tell from week to week how a team's going to perform.
No, you really can't. Nobody seems to have held form this year outside of the Atlanta Falcons, and the Houston Texans until last night. I mean, in a good way I'm talking about. I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars are holding form. They're probably the worst team in football. And the Tennessee Titans aren't that far behind him. Hold on a second.
Okay. And, yes, we're talking with Michael Hare, talking sports, talking Detroit Lions football.
Sorry, I had to pull over. The police were pulling a guy over for speeding, and thank God it isn't me. But anyway, I eluded him again.
That's always good.
but have the 49ers held form? No, not really.
Mm-mm.
The Giants, Yeah, they look like, you know, one of the two or three best teams in the league, but they've, you know, had their downs. But you kind of know that they're going to be there. The Lions are right there, you know, on the fringe of the middle of the pack right now at 2-3. And really, when you think about it, they've probably been as steady in the way they've played as anybody. I don't mean that they've played great, but their style of play hasn't really deviated from week one through week six. The five games they played in that span, you kind of know what you're going to get from them. And sometimes that's maddening, but at least it is a way they play. But I think they'll get better. You know, just two real quick stats for you, and you can drive people nuts with stats. But yeah. The Lions are second in the league in offense. That's, you know, yards per game, and ninth on defense. So I think they've played better than their record warrants, or indicates, I should say. And they've given away two games on special teams. So this is really a team that should be 3-2 or 4-1. As opposed to what it is right now, just on the merits of their offense and defense, special teams has given away too much.
Yes, like I said, they could be 4-2 right now, but unfortunately they're 2-3. And what do you see them doing the rest of the season? Do you see them going 10-6, being a playoff bound team, or maybe have to, maybe hopefully get in the playoffs at 9-7?
Well, I think you'll know a lot more about this team in the next 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, one thing that was revealed yesterday is how much Louis Delmas means to the team. And
yeah, he does.
It's just, even in practice, you can see it. I mean, he gives people energy. He gives them confidence. I mean, you can spend 5 minutes with Chris Houston talking about Louis Delmas, and you come away convinced that this is the emotional leader of the back end of that team, and maybe more than that, because, you know, what he did, he has a skill set that, you know, that John Wendling and the others just don't have. They don't have the same talent level he does. He had two tackles for losses. He had two pass breakups. He had an interception. Those are the kind of plays in the deep secondary that they haven't gotten in any regularity at all this year, if at all. So, you know, he brings it, and what he does is, by having him there, it allows players who really should be backups to play their roles, as opposed to be, let's say there are 60 defensive snaps in the game. Instead of them playing all 60, now they're playing, you know, 12 or 15 or whatever it is, in a more defined set of circumstance that suits the way they play. So, you know, that's sort of an overlooked part of the pecking order on a team. But you want your starters to be starters and your backups to be backups, and, you know, and develop. And with Delmas, that allows them to maintain the order they have.
Do you think that Delmas might be a little small for the position? I mean, we've seen him suffer a lot of injuries during his brief career. Do you think that's part and parcel? Maybe he's such a big hitter and a strong hitter, but maybe he just is a little small in stature. Do you think that might be some of the problem why he's had so many injuries over the years?
Well, I think that's part of it, but I think it goes with playing safety, too. I mean, you talk about the running back position being devalued. I mean, I don't agree with the devalued part. It's important. It's just that the value is that you're not going to, in most cases, have a running back, you know, for 8, 9, 10 years at peak performance. You're lucky to have him for 5. And you look at the way the National Football League is now, you know, the most injured position in football is defensive backs. And I don't know what's ever been broken down between safeties and cornerbacks, but you're looking at guys who weigh anywhere from 195 to 212 pounds, and there's no let-up for them. I was talking to Stephen Tulloch, you know, the middle linebacker, about that, and he said, look, he can sort of protect himself on given plays. That doesn't mean he avoids contact, but it's, he'll live to fight another day. The safety, you can't do that. You come down, you crash down on a guard or a running back or a tight end or a receiver like Calvin Johnson, who outweighs you by 40 pounds. If you don't get him, he's gone, and it's a touchdown. So there's never any relief for him, and that's why they're so exposed to shoulder injuries and hamstrings and knees and ankles, because it's full tilt boogie on every play, and there's no slacking off. Because if you do, bingo, they're lighting up the board behind you.
Yeah. Now, what about Mikal LeSure? I mean, is he the real deal? Can he bring it for the Lions? I mean, they've won basically two out of the three games he's played. So what do you say about the Mikal LeSure?
Well, I say he's the real deal at the level he plays. See, now, I don't see him as an all-pro, you know, game-breaking player, but I see him as a very, very steady and productive contributor. I mean, he'll run between the tackles better than anybody they've had on a consistent basis in a long time. He's tough and he's durable. And let's keep in mind one thing. He's still coming back from an Achilles injury. You know, he's only 14 or 15 months removed from that. And really, the reality is it's a one-year rehab, and then the last phase of your rehab is playing with it. And so I think you're going to see some, you know, you're going to see a lot of weeks where he's not feeling his best. I mean, nothing you can do about it. He's going to be sore and stiff and, you know, stretching that thing out. And so next year you'll see him, you know, at his best. But if he gets through this year without any, you know, without any further injury, which is hard to do for a running back even if he's fully healthy, 2013, you'll see Mike Gill is sure at his best. And at his best, I keep stressing the word best, we'll find out in about an hour and a half or 2 hours the status of Javid Best for this year and beyond.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about him because, yeah, I guess because...
Well, that's why I kept saying it.
Yeah.
I'm really good at leading people on.
Hey, Javid, you know, he's had a lot of concussions problem, and this could be it for him. I mean, I hope it isn't, but, boy, that would be a tough blow because the times that we did see him, he's really good.
Yeah, you know, and the thing with him, just qualifying him as a player to begin with, I don't refer to him as a running back. I refer to him as a playmaker. And you can play him a lot of places. You can put him at, you know, at pure running back, but maybe not, you know, not an I formation back, but you know, but a running back. You can put him in the slot. You can split him wide. You can do a lot of things. And when you get him in space, he has an advantage over every linebacker and safety in the league because he's too quick and he's too fast. And you put him one-on-one, he's going to win more than he loses. And when he wins big. You know, it's like doubling down in blackjack or dice or something like that. When he hits big. And a very, very steady player in terms of, you know, good hands and not fumbling and all that. Now, he's not big. He's, you know, 195, 198, something like that. But he has dramatic speed. He really does. You get him, you know, 15, 18 touches a game, 10 of those are going to be quality plays. They really are. So if you have a combination of him and LeSure, if they're together, it's going to be very hard for teams to defend. And then throw in, you know, the reserves, like Joyke Bell, who's, you know, made the team out of Wayne State, who's better than anyone, myself included, and I'm a big Wayne State booster. You know, Joyke Bell has gone from being a good story to a good player. They've got some, you know, backfield depth that they haven't had in a long, long time.
Yeah, that is really good for the Lions.
But we'll know. You know, the press, you know, the weekly presser is at 2:30. I want to maybe clarify one thing for people who think it's a 2:30 press conference to announce, Javid Best condition. That would be wrong. It's Jim Schwartz's regular 2:30 press conference. And the first 18 questions are going to be about Javid Best.
Yes, yeah, I can see that. That's for sure. Hopefully he has the answers. Hopefully he can give us some good news that Javid Best is going to return and play effectively.
Well, yeah, for him too. Mm-hmm. You know, and for Javid's sake too. He wants to play. And you know, this is Dr. O'Hara, Coach O'Hara, GM O'Hara talking, not based on any inside information that I have. I think he's going to be cleared to play. And I think he's going to play on Monday night against the Bears because just from what he said last week, you know, his tone, his demeanor, and the fact that through all of this, you've never seen any indication from the Lions that Best is not going to be on the field sometime this year. Everything they've done, every move they've made has indicated that he'll be here. But we'll see. You know, he's got a 3-week window now to determine that, and that window starts to open today.
Okay, hey Mike. Before I let you go, let me ask you one question about Nick Farley. Is his motor starting to run consistently now, or is he still an up and down kind of player?
Now, who's that again?
Nick Farley.
Oh yeah, Nick. Yeah, he's a pun on his name, play on his name. I think Farley's done fairly well. Mm-hmm. To me, he's been disappointing both with his production on the field, and I don't think he's ever in his 2 years really gotten himself in top shape. Gunther Cunningham, the defensive coordinator, said a couple of weeks ago he's rounding into shape. Well, that's nice. You know, that's nice. 18 months after they drafted, it's nice to see you rounding into shape. But he made some plays on Sunday. One was he was in on a sack in overtime, along with Kyle Vandenbosch. They got, you know, forced a 3rd and 31 on the Eagles. He had a couple of plays in the backfield, and he also had his two offsides. The one nice thing is he didn't get close enough to Vic the rest of the game to get a late hit or an unnecessary roughness. But he has ability, he has quickness, he has explosion. It's all up to Nick Fairley whether he uses his talents to become a big-time player. I will believe it when I see it.
Okay. Hey, Mike, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you now that you're a DetroitLions.com reporter. So, Mike, hey,
DetroitLions.com.
.com,
let me
yes.
just add one thing about baseball, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Greatest trade in Tigers history, Jose Valverde for Derek Jeter. How about that?
Yeah, that would be a great one.
I'll take it. The Tigers lose Valverde by benching him and the Yankees lose Derek Jeter.
You're by injury.
What a
yeah.
trade.
Oh, yeah, great trade. Hey,
okay.
Mike, yeah, thanks a lot, buddy. We'll talk to you later on.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. And that's Mike O'Hara from the DetroitLions.com, talking sports with him. And the time now is 41 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
For many older drivers, the car represents independence. And Joseph Coughlin of MIT's Age Lab says their children are often reluctant to intervene, even when they might need to.
You don't want to say, pass the peas and hand over the keys.
I'm Neil Cunnan. What happens when it's time to take away the keys? Plus, the thief the CIA left out in the cold. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
For the rest of this afternoon, partly sunny skies. Scattered light rain showers are possible, a high of 55. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-30s. A partly sunny day on Tuesday, there is a slight chance for light rain showers, otherwise a high in the mid-60s, and mostly sunny for Wednesday, a chance of a thunderstorm, highs in the mid-70s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Now, the MSU Rebounders Club tip-off is tonight from 4 to 7 p.m. MSU Breslin Center Student Event Center. Parking free for at Breslin Center. Event Center in enter ticket office windows. Now, concessions will be open to purchase if you desire some food, but it's MSU for MSU Rebounders members. The guests may attend as well. The Rebounders are fourth annual club tip-off will be held tonight. Once again, here is at the opportunity to meet the team and get a poster, sign, watch some of the practice, and look and tour the locker room and hear what Coach Izzo and his staff players have to say about the upcoming season. So that's the Rebounders tip-off today at from 4 to 7 p.m. in Breslin Center. And now we're going to we've talked college football, we've talked pro football, and now we're going to talk some college hockey with our good friend Ricardo Cooney. Hey, Rico, how you doing, buddy?
Fine. How you doing, Earl?
Okay. Yeah, hockey season's underway. I mean, not the NHL, of course, which is probably good. They're not underway, but at least college is underway now, and we can keep an eye on the college hockey. And the Spartans, as we know, got off to a tough start, losing these first two games in the regular season. So what do you say? What do you have to say? And is it just a matter of them getting more practice time in and getting better and learning each other?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a team that's basically adding, you know, half of its roster with all the guys they lost to graduation. And so you got, 12 new bodies, you know, which includes the two transfers. They got the one from Alabama, Huntsville, and one from Sacred Heart, who played in the USHL last year. And you got a bunch of guys that, you know, don't know each other and haven't had a lot of practices going into that those two games at Minnesota before they actually played live hockey.
Okay. Hey, we got to give a number out. Give us a call at 884-4870, 884-4870. If you want a chance to win tickets to the next MSU hockey game against Niagara for this weekend, Friday and Saturday, that is. So you can win tickets to that hockey game, 884-4870. Call that number to register for your chance to win tickets to Michigan State hockey. And Rico, Do you think that, even though we know they've had informal workouts, but they still just need to get more formal workouts together with the coaching staff and to see, hopefully they'll see some progress, because last year's team was pretty good. They had a lot of young players last year, and you'd like to think they could these new players can be integrated into the system rather quickly and hopefully get some good results for them.
Yeah, I mean, you're just talking about a bunch of guys who haven't had a chance to practice together a lot. I mean, the one thing that Tom Anastas did that was a good thing is he instituted a program where the guys come in during the summer and maybe take some classes, and they get to, you know, kind of get acclimated into the college lifestyle and even, you know, with their teammates, so they get a better understanding and idea of what they're going to be facing during the school year, and also get comfortable with, you know, a bunch of guys that you haven't played with yet. And then when you get out and for practice, things maybe are a little more comfortable for you than they would be just coming in cold off the streets. But I think with this team, I think probably what you're going to see is just some growing pains, you know, and some chemistry stuff. And I think probably when you get to the halfway point of the season, you'll really start to see things pay off.
Do you think that this will help Michigan State or help college hockey because there's no NHL this year and they won't be picking off guys unless the strike gets settled or the walkout gets settled near the end of the season? Will that have a positive effect, you think, on Michigan State hockey and college hockey in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll get a little bit of push off of it, but I don't think it'll be, you know, substantial. I don't think people are going to, you know, start running out and buying season tickets to college hockey games. But I think that it will get a little bit more of a boost, and I think it'll get a little bit more exposure. And when you talk about the actual, you know, games being televised, I think a few of the stations may televise a few more college hockey games. And like I said, that'll give it a little bit of a boost. But obviously you still have your diehard NHL fans that are hoping that they get things together in the league and get back on the ice and get some games going.
Oh, yes, that's for sure. And hopefully, you know, we all certainly wish, we love all of our sports, but, you know, I've noticed when you lose hockey, when you lose one of your favorite sports, it's really hard to concentrate on some of the other sports. Like, I know you're doing some football and such, but I know the hockey is your first love. I know that's pretty hard for you, though, isn't it, to start concentrating and doing things on those other sports, because you know this is hockey season and you should be doing the college and the pros.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably classify it as college football being my favorite, and then hockey next. And you know, when you get used to doing things and seeing things and they're not there, you have to, I guess, find a substitute. So what it has done, I guess, is it's allowed me to be a little more concentrated on college hockey, or I'm saying, yeah, on college hockey. And then, so now, I guess, now you could just consider me pretty much a straight college guy. I mean, but, you know, you got the Tigers in there, so
yeah.
that's a good thing. And of course, you know, people are excited about the Lions. So there's things out there to, you know, to fill that void, but you're right. You get into kind of a pattern where you know what you're used to seeing, what you're used to watching and covering, and all that, and you just have to find things to substitute for a while until things get back to normal.
Yes, when this Michigan State team settles, what do you see? Basically, you think this is what, a 500 team, maybe a below 500 team, or maybe a little bit better than 500.
I think that they can be a little bit better than 500, maybe around the way they played last year, when I thought that Tom Anastas did just a fantastic job getting that group to the NCAA tournament. Now, I'm not going to say that this group is a lock for the NCAA tournament, you know, and that they'll get back there. But it, like I said, it'll all depend on how well they gel and how well these new guys get acclimated to playing the college game. And I mean, because obviously they're facing athletes that are bigger, stronger, faster, and in a lot of cases, the teams that Michigan State plays are going to be filled with guys that, you know, are a lot more experienced than Michigan State. But I think talent-wise, once this group gets together and they understand and know everything and the ins and outs of college hockey, I think this is going to be a pretty good group. And I think people are going to, like I said, start to see that about the halfway point in the season.
Okay. Do you see, how do you see the, the goalies this year for the Spartans? I mean, you know, they've one thing Michigan State has had over the years, they've had some pretty good goalies. How's the goaltending this year?
Well, I mean, Will Yanikeff is the guy.
Yeah.
He's the guy. So, I mean, I think, you know, big goalie. And I think the thing that I've always liked about this kid is he's a pretty calm kid. You know, he's not a lot of wasted motion out on the ice. And even when you talk to him, you can tell that he's pretty well put together upstairs, which obviously is a good thing if you're a goalie. And with him, I think once he understands that he is the number one guy and he, you know, has to do the job, I think he will be a lot better off. But that's not to say that they don't have a guy that they brought in, a freshman, Jake Hildebrand, who won't be, you know, nipping at his heels maybe later in the season and early next year.
Well, let's talk a little football, because I know you and I were both at the football game Saturday, a very disappointing game for Michigan State.
I was going to say, do we really need to talk about that?
I guess we can mention it briefly. It's one of those games, and, you know, what surprised me that, you know, this game, Michigan State, is not going to be on ABC, not going to be on ESPN. It's a downfall. I mean, sure, the Big Ten Network has been a blessing for most part for revenue for Michigan State, but a game of this magnitude usually – it's been our ABC or ESPN game year in and year out, but not this year. I guess Michigan State has a lot to do with that, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at both teams, really, I mean, you're talking about two teams that are playing in a rivalry game that have a combined five losses. I mean, Michigan's lost two, Michigan State's lost three. So the glamour, you know, it's not the sexy game of the week.
Right.
Even if both teams had gone in with one loss, you know, they would have, they probably would have been an ABC or ESPN game. But, you know, when you look on paper and you see Michigan State, Michigan, this season, it's not a sexy game. It's not a game that people are clamoring to see, like I said, because you got one team with three losses and one team with two losses. And obviously the luster's been taken off, you know, Denard. I mean, even the Denard factor is not even something to consider for a game like this. So, I mean, to me, it's very understandable why this game was kind of sitting back there. But you know what? That may be a good thing for both teams.
Yeah,
you know, maybe now they'll, you know, maybe kind of understand, realize that, hey, you know, people don't think we're important and people, you know, aren't really, you know, giving us the credit we deserve. And so maybe now both teams will, you know, concentrate and get in there and get to what they need to be to finish the way they did last year. I mean, you know, we're not far removed from two teams that had pretty good showings in bowl games last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about Michigan State and Georgia and Michigan and Virginia Tech. So, you know, it's kind of the mighty have fallen and obviously fallen off the national, you know, television exposure stage.
Yeah, that's sad to say, but yeah, that's the way it is. Well, it'll be a big boost for the Big Ten Network, having a, you know, Michigan State game, being able to televise that. So I know the Big Ten Network has to be happy, because we know that's going to draw a lot of TV viewers around the Midwest right here with the game between these two schools.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right, Earl. It's definitely a huge boost for the Big Ten Network.
Yep. Hey, Rico, before we let you go, just want a few more. Who's going to be scoring the most goals this year for the Spartan hockey team? Who do you see as being the leading goal scorers this year?
With this team, until you get a you know, guys that are solidified, locked in, and focused in, I think it's going to be goal scoring by committee. I mean, they probably have 6, 7, 8 guys they can put the puck in the net, and they're going to need all 6, 7, 8 of those guys to score on a consistent basis. I mean, a nice deal for this team would be if by season's end, you know, they had anywhere from 6 to 10 guys who had 8 to 10 goals, you know, during the course of the year. I mean, now obviously that doesn't happen with a lot of teams. Usually get guys who step forward and then you end up with 4 or 5 main scorers. But for this team, until they can lock things down, like I said, chemistry-wise, knowledge-wise, and just getting and understanding the rigors of the college game, it would be really nice if they got contributions from guys on all four of their lines.
Yeah, that would be good. Hopefully that will happen this year. So, Rico, hey, thanks a lot for being with me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. I'll see you tomorrow if you're going to be at the presser tomorrow, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely, because can't wait to hear what Coach D is going to say about this week.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we know, I'm assuming that it's probably going to be a closed practice. It's been that way every year. So it'll be different. If he says practice, it will not be closed, I'll be shocked.
I will be. I would love to see what the Vegas line is on that.
Yeah, well, it's 10 and a half right now. Okay, buddy. Hey, we'll talk to you a little later, Rico.
All right, Earl. Okay. Have a good day, man.
You too, buddy. Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's Ricardo Cooney talking sports, talking hockey with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. If you want a chance to win tickets to Michigan State of hockey games this coming week, call 884-4870, 884-4870 to register for your chance to win tickets to MSU hockey. Now, Michigan State head football coach Mark D'Antonio will talk about this week's road game against Michigan at the Downtown Coaches Club on Thursday, October 18th at the Eagle Eye Golf Club. Najia Carter, former Michigan State wide receiver from 93 to 96, is the guest speaker. Two aspiring football players will also be in attendance. Doors open at 10:30. And that's coming up this Thursday at the Eagle Eye Golf Center. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And more importantly, though, we need you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR. Now, the Rebounders' fourth annual club tip-off will be held tonight. That's October 15th, tonight, that is. Here, in the opportunity to meet the team, get a poster and signed, watch some practice, tour the locker room, and hear what Coach Izzo and the staff players have to have in store for the upcoming season. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got Ray on the line. Ray, how you doing?
Earl, I don't mean to pick on your team, but I tell you, they're going to have to save their season by beating Michigan this week. Three straight home losses. It just seems like you can't get enough first downs to keep the defense off the field. And then when the game is on the line, your defense can't seem to stop them.
Yeah, that's true. They're going to have to, they really need to win against Michigan. As you know, it's going to be hard down there.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. But
I think you're going to have to have no turnovers. I think Bell's got to have 200 yards.
Yeah, something like that. That's for sure. Yeah, you can't have turnovers in a game like that.
Right.
You know, so it's going to be a tough game, but it's a tough game every year.
Is your offensive line, are they banged up?
Yes, they are. They've got a couple of guys on the IR, and you know, so they've got five or six healthy backs. So they are banged up. Hopefully, they'll just perform well.
Is your tight end going to be able to come back for this game?
Don't know. Probably won't hear about him until tomorrow. So
how many defensive players have you had lost?
Oh, shoot, I can't tell you. I need that in front of me. But they've lost like three or four, I know for sure. And some of them are walking wounded. As you know, a lot of players play even though they're hurt. So they're just in a bad situation right now.
Yeah, they're just going to have to suck it up. Are they still got a positive attitude about going down to Michigan?
Oh, yeah. They've won four in a row. So, yeah, they got a positive attitude. They certainly believe they can win the game, no doubt about that.
They got the main thing is they got to stop Robinson from running the ball.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks, Michigan turned their whole season around by him running the ball over the field.
Yeah, they've done a great job of that, and he's a little bit better passer than he was last year as well.
Yeah, but I think the main thing is, like Alabama and Notre Dame, you've got to stop him on the run.
Oh yeah, you do.
And force him to throw the ball. Maybe you'll get a few picks.
Mm-hmm. That's it. You got to win the battle on the up front on the line. If you win that battle on the line, you've got a great chance of stopping because you can contain him. But you've got to win that battle up front.
Hey, how's your basketball team look for this year?
Well, they should be pretty good. I'm expecting them to be pretty good this year. You know, they've Tom has got them all playing well, and they're young, but they should be pretty good this year. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Ray. We'll talk to you later, buddy. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening and thank you for calling. And we want to invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And tomorrow we have a more special guest for you to talk Michigan State, Michigan football, talk a little bit of Tiger baseball, and we'll do that tomorrow. Gary Gillette will join us tomorrow to talk a little Tiger baseball and to finish our discussion on the MVP award. We'll do that tomorrow with Gary Gillette. Once again, thank you for listening and thank you for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.